Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. I'm Rob Greaves, and thank you for joining me for another Listen to Older Voices program. This is part two of a three-part program on the life and times of 72-year-old Angela Rose. Last week, we learned that Angela was brought up in a comfortable lifestyle and was taught to value family, learning, and social style. Given a solid and wonderful education by the nuns at Genesano, Angela formed attitudes and values that encompasses a love for learning, a love for people, style, beauty, and her faith. Angela decided her future was in teaching, both about the spirit of Christ and the most wonderful of secular learning. It's a mistake to assume that Angela is on a strict religious journey. She is on a religious journey, but one that is wonderfully balanced and grounded with a similar journey through the lay world. Eventually leaving the order, she met her husband-to-be Bill Rose, whose life was strongly enveloped in the world of racing and racehorses, a lifestyle that Angela embraced. Their journey together and their love for each other is strongly evident. Eventually retiring, Angela and Bill find themselves living in Hillsville. Our story today finishes on a most sad and disastrous note, with Bill contracting dementia and Angela involved in a serious accident. But now, we pick up with Angela talking about her beliefs and what is important in teaching children.
Teaching children the correct way of doing things, their starting points, for example, when they are beginning to learn how they draw their letters, shaping their letters, and holding their pens or holding their crayons or whatever they were using. Very important.
Now, we don't seem to pay the attention to those sorts of skills today.
And if you
do you think that's
people,
to our deficit?
It is. I often look at people when they're writing, and there is some of the way they hold their pen is appalling.
Yes.
But they're all the same. They're doing a very good job. I mean, it's nothing to do with their ability in what they're doing. It's just I pick up the way they're holding their pen, which is incidental,
most
really.
Most people wouldn't even notice, probably.
No. Yes, and I loved teaching children songs and poetry, and they're things that will stay with them forever.
Yes, indeed.
You see? Yeah. So there we are. That's that part of my life.
Well, I'd like to come back and talk a little bit about that shortly, but you mentioned that there were two events that come to mind when you think of good times, and you mentioned about the horses down the beach.
The other one was holidays.
Holidays.
We went with some lovely holidays, say to Ballarat, and to we stayed in these very nice old hotels and big verandas.
I mean, I'm struggling for the right word, but it was like very classy in those days, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it was so
everything
nice.
Everything was done with panache.
That's right, and the lovely tablecloths, you know, and although we were sort of accustomed to that because of Woe's Hotel, but to go to other people's hotels and see that they were doing the same sort of thing, but in a different place, and it's always different because the whole surrounds us are so different.
Of course, mm. Of course.
And travelling along, I was all taken with the colour of the soil. I'd never seen red soil before. And Dad said, oh, that's where they grow the potatoes. And that was on the way up to Ballarat, you see. And then other times to Mornington. We used to love going to Mornington.
Which wasn't built up then. It was like the country almost.
That is right.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yes, holidays. And I think perhaps the greatest memory is Christmas.
Okay, tell us about Christmas.
We had the most wonderful Christmases, especially when we were young and believed in, you know.
Of course, as all children do.
Yes, we do. And we'd the night before, we'd have to get everything ready for Father Christmas. Had to put the bottle of beer out, and Mum's made special cake, And Grandma, we had about 4 days getting ready for the plum pudding, and she had to have the fruit all soaking in the alcohol. And then we all had a stir of that. Mm-hmm. And so that went on. There was a ritual for about 4 days to get the plum pudding made.
But it was always worthwhile, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And especially when we found the threepences and sixpences on Christmas Day.
Another custom that we've lost these days. But as kids, we loved it.
Oh, we loved it.
That's right.
Yes. And of course, little did we know that when they were cutting up the the Christmas pudding, they would put special ones in for us.
Oh, so the children got it. That's right. That's what made Christmas for kids.
Oh, look, the preparation.
That's right.
You know, and we'd say special prayers before for Christmas, and then we'd go to St. Ignatius Church. I often wondered. I said to Mum one time, "Weren't you wonderful?" Because they went to all the balls. Mum would look absolutely beautiful in her ball gowns. And the last thing that she did before going out of the house was to make sure that Dad's bow tie was absolutely straight.
Sounds like straight out of a movie.
And anyway, I was saying to Mum, they were wonderful. After the balls, they'd be up for 8 o'clock Mass and have us all dressed and our hair done, etc. And she said, no, we weren't the wonderful ones. The ones before us were the wonderful ones.
What did she mean
and
by that?
She meant that they passed on the faith, you know, from that generation to our generation.
So she's talking about her parents.
Yes, that's right. Her parents did the same thing and passed on to her, and then she really appreciated that.
Isn't that interesting? And she shared that with you.
Yes.
Mm, mm. Do you think Christmas has changed now for us? As a society, from when you were a girl?
I think it has, but we don't know. I think many people still love Christmas as a family time. And I still believe that the spirit of Christ is so evident in our world at Christmas time. You can feel the spirit, like at Easter time too. You can. There's some calmness comes over us in spite of all the movement and all the rush and the bustle and everything else.
And the commercialism.
Mm.
Yes.
I think that is there.
Interesting, isn't it? Because commercialism in some regards, if you look back into the 40s and now where we are now, somewhat 70 years later, it's certainly the worldwide, it's more commercial. Everything's commercially oriented.
Yes.
And yet that spirit hasn't been lost.
No. I often think that. I think it's quite a miracle that during these festive seasons, where Christmas and Easter particularly, where people that never bother about church because of one reason or another, but they do make an effort to go to church at those particular times and to be with people of faith. And I think there's so many wonderful people and people of spirituality. And I might just share with you just something that happened to me just very recently.
Please do.
It was our 16th wedding anniversary, and I haven't told you anything about it. I met Bill.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about. Do you want to talk about Bill first and that? Or?
Yeah, no, well, I'll talk about Bill first, Bill.
Yeah, meeting Bill.
I had done many of the Bill Collins's tours to Europe and to Japan when Better Loosen Up won the Japan Cup, which was absolutely wonderful.
Now, sorry, I wasn't going to interrupt, but I've got to come back here. Bill Collins is a very famous racing
person. He was.
How were you involved with Bill Collins?
Well, I was always listening to the radio stations about the racing, and my aunt, Auntie Zoe from the hotel, knew Bill Collins.
Right.
And so he took tours to England with his wife, Robin. And so I went to the Japan Cup and came back through Hong Kong. And I was single in these days because in between time I'd left the order. I'd left the nuns.
As a teacher?
Yes. Okay. So I left being a nun in 1977 and I became a lay teacher.
Golly, there's so many questions coming out of all this. We won't lose track of this, but I don't want to let that go either because that sounds like a very important thing in your life.
Oh, it was a very big decision I had to make.
How did it come about?
Well, I was sent to do theology up at the Auburn College.
Yes.
And then I worked with a team of Jesuits. And I was really mixing with a lot of people, especially people in the high-rise flats, with all the problems and good things that happened down there. And I would come home, come back to the convent, and it was all so strange to me. It felt as though I was in, like, going backwards, because people, they didn't seem to understand what was going on in the real world.
Right.
That's not to say they weren't praying.
No.
But I just felt...
Was it feel like a losing a connection?
Losing a connection. That is right.
Yes.
And so that sort of idea of thinking, oh, look, I could be doing all this as a layperson. But it took many years to have the courage to do that.
A big decision.
A very big decision, yes. And then you get to the point, well, look, you don't mind what people think. You know, you just have to do what your own heart tells you.
Absolutely right. Yes. Yes.
And so I've never looked back from there.
So you became a lay?
A lay person. All the people that are running our schools now.
Yes.
They're all lay people.
But you kept working with people who in disadvantaged people, did you?
Oh, you know, I went down to Geelong and I taught in schools there.
Right.
So, and that was all interesting.
So
and
you're single, you're still teaching?
Teaching, that is right, single and teaching.
And flitting in places like Japan?
Yes, that is right, on holidays,
And
going to Europe. Two wonderful holidays to Europe.
Where did you go in Europe?
Oh, on a 6 weeks tour with Insight. That was a company that took people around, that was marvellous. And then... I went with Bill Collins' group to Europe, and that was marvellous with a group of bookmakers and other people. So that was really terrific. And we went to Brussels and Luxembourg and places like that,
Epinay,
where they make the real champagne.
Oh, hang on. I wish we had television to see your face just then. You obviously tasted.
We did. So they were wonderful, wonderful tours.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
Now, after one of these tours, we were in the Tower Hotel in, I think we would call it Camberwell, and there were quite a few of us who'd been on tour and we're sort of all a get-together. And Bill Collins and Robin were there and they said, look, some of us are off to Vanuatu, would you like to join us? And I said, well, it sounds good to me, Bill. I was unmarried still. So off I went with Bill and Robin and a few other people. Off we went to Vanuatu. Now, I was at a cocktail party one evening in this beautiful place overlooking the lagoons and the palm trees, etc. And I'd met two ladies there from New Zealand, and they said that they were going the next day on a sailing ship. And if I'd like to join them. And I said, oh, that would be lovely. And then this person next to me, he said, well, I'd like to go too. And so it turned out to be Bill Rose.
Right.
And we only had a few days in Vanuatu to sort of meet each other. And he asked me for my telephone number. Now, I might tell you that Bill lived in Walgett, New South Wales, which is 3 hours northwest of Dubbo.
I was going to say, that's almost outback.
It is.
Yes.
He had a big engineering business up there and also was a great trainer of thoroughbred horses, a breeder and trainer of horses, and with enormous success.
But a hard way to have a relationship, isn't
it? A very hard way.
Yes.
And it would take him three planes. he would drive to Dubbo, then get a plane from Dubbo to Sydney and Sydney to Melbourne.
Goodness me.
So when the first time he came, I said, well, look, I was working. So I said, well, look, Bill, all the sportsmen stay at the Hilton Hotel. So he stayed at the Hilton Hotel. And I was like the tourist person showing him all around Melbourne. And then I discovered what a beautiful city we have. Because it was from a different perspective, taking people around. He couldn't get over the beautiful perfumes, a perfume in David Jones. He'd never seen big department stores before. And also the size of and height of the buildings and the space in the buildings.
He really was a country boy.
He's a real country boy. Mm. That is right. So anyway, then he rang me and he said he was very interested in coming down to the Melbourne Cup and the racing festival there. So he said, I'll only come down if I can stay with you. I said, oh, yes, you can.
So can I ask a leading question, and it's up to you how you answer it. At this point in time, had you looked at Bill and gone, this is a good sort here, this is a good-looking man?
A very gentle person.
Right.
And concerned, you know, I mean, just a lovely person to be with.
You wanted to be with him.
Be with him.
That's good.
Yes, and yes.
Nice.
It was just
really nice.
Very, very nice, like friends.
Okay. Yeah. So Bill comes down.
And Bill comes down, and we go to the Melbourne Cup. First of all, we went out one morning. We got up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said to Bill, if we get out to Flemington, we'll see all the horses training just before the Spring Carnival. And all the big trainers are there, and you'll see them for yourself, you know. So we did that, and that was wonderful. And then we went to, because I'd been a member of Moonee Valley for a long time, mm-hmm. we went to the Cox Plate. Mm-hmm. Then we went to the Caulfield Cup, and then it's Derby Day. And then on Oaks Day, it was all dressed up.
Of course.
And he asked me to marry him on Oaks Day, Ladies' Day.
What year was this?
This was in 1993.
Right.
So I was very happy.
Of course you were.
Yes. And so in 1994, we were married at the Jesuit Church in Hawthorne. And we had our reception on the rooftop of the RACV Club in Queen Street. And lots of all our families and people from interstate, people from Walgett
How
Way.
Lovely.
It was a very, very happy wedding.
Going fast, coming soon. We made love in the afternoon. Found a flat. After that, we got married. Working hard for the dream, scoring goals for the other team. Times were bad, we were glad, we got married. Like the way you open up your hearts to each other.
and this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Angela Rose, and Angela's recalling the circumstances of her marriage.
You obviously would have visited him in Walgett at some stage.
I did.
Can you recall the first time you went there?
Yes.
What your impressions were?
Well, the first time, he just bought this new Mercedes and it was waiting at the airport at Dubbo. And he drove to Gulgandra and we had a beer. And then he said, "Now, you can get in the car and drive to Walgett and mind the kangaroos."
Oh, good. Brand new Mercedes and watch out for the kangaroos.
Oh. Yes, because he wanted me to go with him, or invited me to go with to him, because he told me in Vanuatu he just bought a horse at the Magic Million sales and he called him Bolotto Bill. There were several people going and they said, "Bill, do you want to come with us? Because we're thinking of buying horses." And he said, "Oh, yes, I'll come up with you." This is before he met me. Mm-hmm. And so all the people that were going to buy horses, not one did, but he did.
That's usually the way it is.
And called him Bolotto Bill.
Did Bolotto Bill ever make him any money?
He won 17 races for us.
Wow.
And we really had the most good. Wonderful time travelling all across New South Wales and Sydney and so forth with Bolotto Bill. We've had a wonderful time with the racehorses. And then we had Mystique Bill, and we had friends who bred her in Melbourne. And we had her shipped up to Walgett. She won 3 races, but broke a bone in her knee. Oh. And then was in foal to Carla Dancer and was bitten by a snake and died in foal. But anyway, there are some of the sad stories that happen. Can't have good luck all the time.
No, you can't.
No. So anyway, we were married and I had a place in Hawthorne. So I let that out to a doctor and off I went and packed. I had the packers in and I said to my mother, All this paper movement, I said, "Oh, my God, I hope I'm doing the right thing." And she said, "Oh, of course you are."
Late to start thinking about that one, I think, my dear.
Yes. But off I went to Walgett and had a wonderful time up there. And
didn't find it too small having lived all your life in a big city?
That's what everybody said. But, look, people were so good. And the people off the land would, because Bill looked after people off the land, all their machinery and so forth, you know. Right. And they'd say, "Oh, bring Angela out and show her, we'll show her this and just show her that." And
they're very friendly, aren't
very,
they?
Very, very friendly. So I had a great time up there. Yes. Did Bill's books and, and with our own horses, like, there was never a dull moment.
No.
So anyway, Bill had to retire then, and we came back to Hawthorne, my place in Hawthorne. But it was good when I was working, but we both decided we needed to live in the country. So we looked in Nagambi and Yay, and coming back from Yay, I said to Bill when we got to Yarra Glen, "Oh, this is the horse country, Bill." So we got out of the car, went across to Rosie's, the estate agent. And about 5 o'clock, I might tell you, in the afternoon. And the gentleman said, "Oh, look, there's a house coming up in Healesville you may be interested in. If you'd like to come up tomorrow, I'll show you." And that is this home we're sitting in.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so what a wonderful...
So I don't need to ask you. You looked at it and you went, "This is the place."
Yes.
Yes.
And we're very happy here.
Yes.
But I need to tell you another story. It was our 16th wedding anniversary, which was only 3 months ago. We went down to the Healesville Hotel and had lunch. And it was autumn time and the trees were magnificent. And we woke up and Bill cuddled me and said, "Haven't we had wonderful time? We haven't wasted a moment." So I said, "It's been terrific, Bill." So we got dressed and off we went down to the hotel. We had our lunch. Now, I might tell you, in this time since we've been here, and it's been coming on for a long time, Bill has dementia and he's now in care, but he was assessed, that's the word I'm looking for, as low care, and then last year he was assessed as high care dementia.
That was quick.
It was. Over a period of 5 years, I was his main carer And I was becoming very stressed and had diabetes as well. Anyway, we went down and had a nice lunch, and he was getting very tired. So I said, look, I'll go and get the car, Bill, and bring it round to the disabled car park, which was just beyond the lights in the main street. I was doing that, and this enormous crash went into the car. I'll never, ever forget it. And then I was hit a second time, and I seemed to go through the air. Now, this is in a big Mercedes E220, which I suppose would be one of the strongest cars you could buy.
You were in the car.
I was driving the car. Thankfully, Bill was not with me because he was waiting for me at the disabled car park. Well, the impact was so great that the locks locked, so they couldn't get me out of the car. But I did have the presence of mind to touch the automatic windows because the car was still going. And with a great lot of trouble, they got me out of the car.
Wow.
And I was screaming, crying.
Of course.
I didn't know what had happened. Oh.
Next week, Angela completes the story of her accident. Shares openly her anguish, her fears, her sorrows and pain. But in doing so, also shows us what a remarkable woman she is and what a remarkable journey this has been and continues to be. Next week, the third and final part of The Life and Times of Angela Rose. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Uniting Victoria Tasmania. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.